Dalton, what are we, a million, we're up to a million, Tim, what is that?
Well, we'll hit a million this week, a million downloads this week.
Cindy, I know you got a list over there, and are you prepared? Some of the, this is some of the cities. Now, you have to be fast.
Okay,
no, don't, don't be too fast.
Well, there's close to 60.
60 countries.
60 countries, and there's even more than that, but I'll stop at around 60.
I'm getting nervous.
I know, so am I. My nasal twang's going to come through, my Americanism. But anyway, Canada, U.S., United Kingdom, Mexico, Australia, Japan, Finland, Germany, Sweden, Netherlands, New Zealand, Dominican Republic, France, United Arab countries, Seychelles. Tim had to tell me how to pronounce
Seychelles.
It. Seychelles.
It's 1,000 miles off the west coast of Africa. It's like an
archipelago.
I am getting
nervous.
I know. Czech, but I'm going to mess up the name of the name. Czech Republic, Ireland, South Korea, Cayman Islands, Hong Kong, Singapore, Thailand, Italy, Russia, Costa Rica, Qatar, Romania, Spain, Indonesia, Norway, Portugal, Switzerland, Iran, Bermuda, Brazil, Slovakia, Poland, Jordan, Vietnam, Cuba, Austria, Uruguay, Taiwan, Jamaica, Turks and Caicos, Ukraine, Colombia, Israel, Turkey, South Africa, Barbados, India, Cambodia, Kazakhstan, I think I got that right, Bahrain, that's a new country there, and Belarus, Luxembourg, Andorra, Nicaragua, Aruba, Chile, Ecuador, Bosnia.
I am really nervous.
I know, Bosnia and Herzegovina. Herzegovina, Dominica, Guatemala, Hungary, Liechtenstein, Serbia, Serbia,
like
Slovenia, Virgin Islands in the U.S., BQ, don't know what that stands for, that's the name of the country, CW, Ethiopia, Honduras, St. Kitts and Nevis, Latvia, Malaysia, Essex, Argentina, and these islands, and can I keep going?
Well,
keep going. Azerbaijani. There you go. Estonia. Gabon. That's in Africa.
That's in Africa. Yep.
Guam. Iraq. Jersey. Kenya. Morocco. St. Martin, right? And there's all, I could go 150 more countries I could name.
I know one there.
Sick
you
of me
have,
already.
You didn't put in. You didn't put in Malta. And I know there's a guy in Malta named Al Strachan. And you people remember Al Strachan. He used to write for the Globe and Mail.
Right.
And a Hockey Night in Canada.
And you took a trip to England with him, right?
Went to England. And I remember him and Milbury used to go at it all. He didn't like Milbury, and Milbury didn't like him. And he used to be good. And he went to Malta. Oh, I think he's in Malta. He has a place in Florida. And he did live in Nova Scotia. Moved to Florida, and he said he's going to Malta. I'm in Malta. And he said, yes, I like the people of Malta. So there's a bar down there, and he says, would you send some stuff down there, you know, from Hockey Night in Canada? And so I sent a poster. I don't think I sent anything for Hockey Night in Canada, but I sent a bunch of posters down. And he says, oh, good. He's now I get free drinks in this bar.
I think Malta, I think that's where a Maltese comes from, the dog. Remember, we had a Maltese as
you know, Malta,
up.
Let me tell you about Malta. I'm quite up in these things. That they were bombed by the Germans and the people got mad. They thought, you know, they ruined the spirit of the people. And they got mad. They said, go ahead, bomb us as much. And Malta, you had to... They had to stop there. The Germans had to stop there at Malta, you know, replenish the fuel and all that. And those people of Malta, they took the bombing day every day, and they didn't quit. So that's why Al's there. Al Strachan, and I know if you're listening and you're in the bar, you're having a good time right now.
That's good. Well, Dad, we were out. It's the GTHL, Greater Toronto Hockey League. It's the playoff time.
Yeah, and
you and I were out.
And was it cold?
Yes, it just seemed like the coldest nights we seemed to go out.
What rink were you at?
We've been to quite a few. We've been to Iceland's. We've been to the Hershey Center. We've been to Paramount Center. We went to Westwood, Chesswood, and Scotia Pond.
I don't know them, but I know, you know, and it's funny thing is, and we were there, and we were sitting by ourselves, and all of a sudden, a Mark Hunter comes with his scouts. What was it?
Well, Mark Hunter was there, and Ken Hornick is their head scout.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, well, remember the time we saw him? Here's the thing with the London Knights of the OHL. They're the evil empire of the OHL.
Montreal used to be that way.
Right. They're the New York Yankees. They're the New England Patriots.
So you say that in a loving way.
Right. And everybody says they don't rebuild, they just reload. Right? They don't. And but I have
Dale Hunter there. Dale Hunter's the coach. Oh, yeah. Tell about the time. And I said, well, congratulations. And what's the first thing?
Yeah, so we were at a game, and I should just tell people, I scout for the OHL Central Scouting, and I've been doing, you know how long I've been doing that now?
How long?
20 years.
20? No, and you know when you got to make a list of all the guys like Marner and...
Yeah, all the guys we saw.
Yeah.
And
McDavid.
Yeah, so we were out, and so we were out at the game, and it was a playoff game, and there was a lot of scouts, like there was a few scouts out there. There was... JR, he's the coach and GM of the Mississauga Steelheads. He was there. And then the Ottawa 67s guys were all there.
Yeah.
But Mark Hunter come over and with the scouts, Ken and everybody. And so you went up and said,
he was there. And I said, well, congratulations.
Right. You said, congratulations on winning the gold medal. And what did he...
Here's what he said. He said, you know, and now all the thing, he won the gold medal and everything's, you know, and all the guys, and he said, you know what a guy said? You know what a guy said? And he's really ticked about this one. It shows you, people say they don't read the paper or they don't do that.
He said, we're playing well, we get beat 6-0 by the Russians, and this is what happens.
And he said, now you go ahead, I forget what he said.
Well, it was an online magazine, if you want to call it, that thinks they know hockey. And they put the title, Mark and Dale Hunter, the most overrated minds in hockey.
And he remembers that. And the funny thing, he doesn't remember, won't mention the guys winning the gold. But and that's the way life is. And we're talking to guys, you know, getting in trouble. My buddy Cassian got 7 games. What did you think of that, Tim?
Well, I think, you know, I don't think he meant, if he really meant to kick him, he would have cut him in two, but I think he meant to push him off, but you can't do that.
You know, it's a funny thing. I really like Cassie, and what he did was, it was a mix up down there, and really, he didn't, and here I am making, oh, there, Cherry making excuses for seven games is good. I mean, you know, I mean, you can't kick a guy. I mean, he didn't kick him. As far as I'm concerned, he didn't kick, he sort of kicked him. He sort of pushed them off, but he got 7 games. And I think he's lucky he's only got 7 games. I could talk about, and people are sick of, well, maybe you're not, my buddy Chris Simon. And I tell you this story. This is a true story. This is hard to believe, folks. 52 games he was suspended. And his victims, if you wanted to call him victim, missed one shift. 52 games. Chris Simon. I remember I told him, I said, Chris, the referees have got it in for you with your long hair. I said, you got to cut that hair. I mean, he had big, long hair. And he's, well, you know, my dad likes the hair and everything. He said, well, you're going to get penalties. So he cut the hair. So you know what? He still got the penalties.
So, Dad, I got to ask you, I mean, about the kicking and all this. You've been in a lot of fights. Did you ever have an occasion where a guy takes a swipe at you like that?
You know, I remember my brother had an awful scar on his left arm. I never forgot it, and I never forgot. Every time, you know, I'd see this car, and it was a beauty, and I never forgot that. And I asked him how he got it, and he said he was in a fight with a guy, and the guy was down, and the guy, as he got up, the guy kicked him and went to kick him in his face, and he brought his arm up and caught it on. I think it was in the Central League. I'll tell you how this all came about. Ottawa Hall Canadians, great EPHL, were playing, and they were playing the Sudbury Wolves. I was on the Sudbury Wolves, and I was on the bench, and the big schmozzle, big fights going in the corner. And for some reason, their player coach, and that's what they wanted, was a player coach for the save money, I guess. And I'm on the bench, and Eddie Stankiewicz is to my left, and we're watching the fight, and for some reason, their player coach, big guy, grabbed our goalie, Carl Wetzel. Now, it's coming back to me now. And for some reason, he keeps punching our goalie. And
that's different.
Carl, he was a big guy too. But he would just keep punching him, like from behind. I don't know. So anyhow, I turned to Eddie and I said, Eddie, I said, if he punches our goalie one more time, we got to go.
You got to go over the boards.
We're going. And Eddie said, I'm game. and he was a tough little guy.
Yeah.
So, and he punches him one more time over the boards. We go. We get about 50 games now if we did. And I really corked him. Now, this guy was bald. And he was a big guy. He was bald. And he used to put a lot of Vaseline on it, evidently. And I got him down. It's awful, awful, folks. But I'm telling you what happened. And I'm on him. And as I'm hitting him once, I'm drawing back. And Eddie's coming right through, just nailing. And we must have hit him about 30 times. Now, here's the funny thing. Their players are standing there watching us. I figure, you know,
and there's two of you guys on this one.
Well, Eddie's over at the side. And I'm thinking, you know, they're going to jump in any minute. And I could see their legs. They was in the fight. They just stood there and watched their coach being beat up. So, I may have Vaseline. And I remember, funny thing is, he was white as a ghost. And I remember there was blood all over. And the guy in the Vaseline looked like an abstract painting. So it was all over. And I remember it was over, and I turned around. There was a guy named Frank Rogoveen, and he was split, all leg. He was all split up,
split in the lip.
Yeah, it's all cut and everything like that. And I said, "Geez, Frank, I didn't see you in a fight at all." I wasn't. And I said, "Well, how'd you get cut?" He said, "When you brought back your fist." I said, he says, "I was too close, and you cut me. You cut me." So I cut my own guy. I got two for one. So now, after the game, we're on the bus, and a guy comes up, sit beside me. I forget who. I think it was Jake Henderson. Come up, and he says, "Grapes, we're playing back-to-back games back in Sudbury. Be very, very careful," he said, "because this guy said in the dressing room that he's going to get me and he's going to spear me." I imagine their guys, they hated this guy so much, they told one of my players.
That's why they were letting you beat him up.
Yeah, well, yeah. So we're in there, and sure enough, I remember like it was yesterday. I fall down at the blue line. He speared me in the back of the head. So I jump around. I got him down, and I'm doing another number on him. Isn't that awful, folks? But anyhow, that's the way it goes.
That's what they listen for.
Yeah. So he lets on he's knocked out. And I said, you know, there's something. This guy is knocked out. He's letting on he's knocked out for some reason. I don't understand. So the two linesmen got me by the arm. It's a perfect setup. And he's letting on, he's knocked out. But I remembered my brother. This guy was going to kick my brother in the face. And I said, this guy's going to kick me in the face. I know it. And as I got up, he come through and let on. He wasn't out at all. And he kicked at my face and throat. And I bought my head and everything up, and he caught me in the chest. Well, then I went really bananas. I mean, I really went bananas. And I hate to say it. And no linesmen were holding me then, and then they got him. And I remember like it was yesterday. They brought him, and I'm trying to get over the boards to go at him. And I was kicked, and it was a good one too. If he had got me, he'd have done it.
Don't players get reputations whether they kick sometimes?
No, I don't remember many guys kicking. I remember a guy in I played for Springfield. We had about a guy in. I think it was Punch was there too. I won't name him, and he kicked a guy in a fight, and we wouldn't talk to him.
Is that right? So there is a stigma if you kick.
Well, you know, and Cassian didn't really kick him. I mean, if he wanted to kick him, he really could have kicked him.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I feel sorry for Cassian. Seven games, and I don't think he'd be too mad. I mean, he knew
it was coming.
He knew it was coming. He just ragdolled Tayshuk before, and he does that. It was more, I'm saying this here, it was more of a push than it was a kick. I'm sorry I jumped in one of my escapades that I was at. You were talking about, you and I go out, we've been going out for 20 years, and I enjoy it. I really love watching the kids. I think the kids, the kids before, they're always the bantams in that. They get a big kick. They play before they come up and get my pitch.
But, Tim, can I ask a question? And that I think a lot of people don't. Central scouting, it's not that you don't scout for a specific team.
Right.
It's central scouting. And what does that mean?
Well, what we do is we do reports, and we put it on a database. And then Daryl Woodley's the head central scouting, and it goes to him, and then he sends it out to GMs and scouts and stuff like that.
So, because a lot of the moms and the parents say, oh, my kid's never going to be seen. And I always say to them, trust me, with central scouting, if your kid's good, they're going to find you, right?
Well, to go back
to London, their head scout, Ken, he was at a game. It was the last game of the season. Yeah. He went to see two teams that were out of the playoffs. And he was there to look at a kid that, you know, they might take 8th, 9th, 10th round.
And he had to drive back to London too.
He lives. Yeah, it was a snowstorm. So the kid wasn't even dressed.
Oh, well, you've done that, right?
Tell a story about Tardif. Remember?
Yeah, we were looking. This is when we had the Ice Dogs. We went to go see Jamie Tardif. And we were debating whether to take him.
Oral Sullivan. Or Taylor Hall.
Nathan Horton. So we drove to, it was Welland, I believe, and it was snowing.
Oh, yeah.
It was just brutal. So we were driving, and we get there, and the place is full of scouts.
And we were up, somehow we were standing up high. Remember that?
Yeah.
We were standing up high.
So we're sitting there, and so, you know, we're going to see Jamie, and he gets hitting from behind. He gets thrown out 30 seconds into the game.
He hits a guy from behind.
Got thrown out of the game. And so, but remember what happened then? It was a tier two game, so it wasn't like, you know, 3 15-minute minutes. It was like a full 20-minute periods. And almost all the scouts left.
Oh yeah, all the guys left.
But we stayed.
Yeah, I said I can't go because the rest of the kids, if I leave, looks.
Yeah, it doesn't look nice. Didn't some of the in the past the coaches that means a lot to them that you stay and watch.
I met one of the coaches in the airport, and he said the kids couldn't believe that you stayed. Well, they could believe that they appreciated that I stayed and I didn't leave. And then I got a letter from one of the coaches that I start the games,
you can't.
I don't care. I cannot leave. And no matter how bad the game is or anything like that.
Well, I remember we went to another game. So we drove down to Welland to see another game. And you can't believe, like, when you go to those small towns, this was like Provincial Junior A, it was just packed. It was standing room only, three deep. So we went, and so Jamie was playing, and so it was score all time between the periods. And what they did was that it was just outside the blue line, and they had a tire to put in the net or something like that that you could shoot through. And then the person that got called, he could say, well, I want so-and-so to shoot for me from the Welland Tigers.
A player that was playing the game?
So he could, yeah.
Wow.
So this girl goes out, and she says, I want Jamie Tardif. Well, you know, it's full of scouts. You could just see he was embarrassed.
Now that's pressure.
He walked out and he went zing, zing, zing. Three shots. Right dead center.
Yeah,
right,
he was
through,
embarrassed.
It skated right off. And then another thing I remember about that was we were sitting in the press box for the one game. And so you always bought 50-50 tickets.
Yeah.
So we went and bought 50. So I went and I bought. You bought like $10 of 50-50.
$20 bucks.
$20, whatever. And you win.
Yeah. Well, so, what am I going to? Yeah. I win. Don Cherry wins
and takes the money.
So yeah. I give the money back.
So you get the money back. So, and again, this was, I bet you there was 2,000 people in the ring.
So it would have been a good kitty.
It would have been. So then we go a week later and you buy, you know, $20, $25 worth. You win again.
And I remember looking at you and you got the tickets because I don't have my glasses and everything. And I said, And so you don't say anything. I said, don't tell me.
So
$1,400.
It was $1,400.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, because you said, well, how much should I give back? And I said, well, how much do you think? I don't know, $300 or $400. I go, no, it was about $1,500.
$1,250, I think it was.
And then the game that Jamie Tardif got thrown out, you won a free pizza. You didn't win the thing, but you won a pizza. So we're standing there with this pizza. Jamie Tardif comes over and he won a pizza. So he took it
to the team. You know, we have a lot of fun going to the games, and I think one of the games, a game I always remembered was that game. What was that town? We were in Uxbridge.
Yeah, it was Uxbridge Bruins versus Little Britain Muskies, I believe they were.
And it went into overtime, and I had to drive. We had to drive back, and everybody, Everybody's giving me a hard time.
Well, it went into four overtimes. It was a fourth overtime. We left. It had to be about 2:30 in the morning. And it was like the movie was like a Disney movie. Like it was like if you're making another Mighty Ducks movie, yeah. Like guys are ringing them off the post and these goalies are making unbelievable saves and breakaways after breakaways. And it was 2:30. And so Dad.
So I'm walking out and the guy's giving me a hard time. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you? You're a great hockey guy. You're supposed to be a hockey guy. We're going in overtime. I said, well, look, I got to drive all the way back to Mississauga. He said, oh, yeah? I have to get up to work in 2 hours. So they were. And remember the time, first time I ever saw this, it was a guy's looking at the guy's puck's laying there, and a guy sees the linesman coming.
Like the whistle's blowing, it was an icing.
And the guy takes the puck and hits the glass. And it goes right back to the linesman, catches the linesman. Did you see that?
The stories you guys come home with and all. And how about the phone, when the guy with the phone, the father flips the kid the phone? You were telling me about that. And phones, you know, are pretty expensive these days, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, I forget what rink we were at, but it was like we were sitting up and the rink was down and the kid wanted a pitcher and he was yelling at his dad to throw his phone up, and you could see the dad really wasn't too crazy about
it. Everybody's watching.
So now he's going to throw the phone probably 30 feet in the air, and the kid caught it, and then I looked at it, and then I took the picture. It was a brand new iPhone, so I'm thinking, boy, imagine that kid dropped it.
And now you got to throw it back.
Well, I gave it to the kid, and he dropped it back down.
Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing. When we go to the games, the kids, in the one team, Marley's all the time, and most of the kids wear a shirt and ties. And if they see me in a way in the distance, they go in their bag. They don't have their shirts and ties on, and they put their shirts and ties on. I just love it when I think about it. What sport in the world? Well, I'm not starting knocking all the rest of the sports, but you see them walking into the thing. What sports in the world has 12-year-old kids practice and play and they have shirts and ties on?
Remember we were at a tournament. And so we were at a tournament, and it was just, you were getting mobbed. And this team came, and they just had sweats.
Oh, they had t-shirts on. I'll never forget that.
But they had sweatpants and shit, yeah. but you kind of looked at it. So go ahead. So
I had the picture taken with them, and, you know, I thought, kind of funny, all the rest of the kids, the shirts and ties. So they leave,
and then I think it was the Toronto Red Wing kids come up.
Yeah, and then they all have shirts and ties on, and I said, you know, it's a funny thing. I said, I had the picture taken with the team before, and he says, they're from Detroit.
you know, you guys have a reputation, all you scouts. I had to enlighten you what the parents, because they see you, all you scouts, and you're judging all their kids and how good they are, and I was sitting with a bunch of them, and they said, look at them up there. Look at them judging our kids.
That's what we do.
I'll tell you a story.
But you know what they call you guys up there? I had to tell you, the Black Crows.
Yeah, we all wear black.
You all wear.
Yeah, everybody does wear black.
Look at the Black Crows up there judging our kids.
I remember like it was yesterday. We were in this arena, and number 6. I remember it was number 6. He was a pretty good defense. He was a pretty good defenseman.
Yeah, I remember it too. We were in the Etobicoke Ice Sports, yeah. And he played for the Toronto Marlies.
Is that right? I remember this father ran down and yelled at the coach, and I could see every coach. I looked at all the coaches, and they just stroked the guy's name off. And so I said something to one of the coaches. I said, I see everybody's, what are you kidding? If I recommend that guy to go to Dale, it was a London guy. He says, you imagine I did that and that father, I'd be gone in a minute.
Well, on that same note, Tim, is it an urban myth that you guys check out the mom if for other reasons of,
Well, I guess what they say is that if a mom, they look at the moms to see if the kids are going to grow.
Right.
If a kid's...
I didn't know that.
They say if it's a big, tall mom.
If a mom's bigger, then they think the kids are really going to grow.
Because most boys take after mother.
I didn't know that.
But it doesn't make any... I think all the kids are big now.
How about the mother we're walking with? I got to tell this story. And the kid's playing for... I know it's Ottawa right now. He's a good kid.
We won't mention his name because he'll be embarrassed.
Don't mention his name. You don't want to embarrass him.
He's playing for the 67s, and I think he was drafted in the NHL.
Yeah. So So I'm walking out, and this mother says, look, I have to tell you a story about my son. And he says, I hate to admit this, he says, but I looked in, his wallet was laying there. And, you know, and I'm a mother, and he's a 15-year-old kid. I have to look to see what's going on. So I, sure enough, I looked through his wallet, and it come to this, and it's bent, and it's a picture, but you can see it's been folded over so many times. It's got a wrinkle, you know, the wrinkles and everything. And he said, oh, yeah, so this. He's kept a picture of some girl or something, a naked girl or something like that. And she said, I opened it up. It was a picture of you.
Well, the hockey moms, they're something else. How about the one that was embarrassing? Sometimes they do embarrass their kids when they come up to you.
Oh, that was a good one.
About the cupcake?
Cupcake?
Yeah, it was about 3 weeks ago.
For your birthday.
We got to tell you, this was one of the first times you came back from, we went out since the whole Sportsnet incident.
Oh, yeah.
So it was funny, you could see people,
before
they used to come up, hey, Don, how are you, and everything like that.
They were like the Pied Piper. But
this time, the first, they were looking like, should I go up and say hello or shouldn't?
Poor
like,
guy.
Yeah, they were kind
guy.
Of. Yeah,
what do I say?
So they were. So some mom, a mom comes up, and it was her son's 13th birthday, and she gave us two cupcakes, and you could see the kid dying a thousand deaths. And then once she came up and said hello, it's our talk that everybody came up.
Yeah.
And then. So then she wanted a picture with the kid. And I can imagine the son wasn't too happy that the mom brought cupcakes to to the players.
I remember.
So the kid was taking a picture with you. And I said, here, Dad, hold the cupcake. And then he even got more embarrassed.
Oh.
Yeah, it had 13 on it. I remember.
It was 13, yeah. They were good cupcakes, too.
Yeah, I ate them.
Well, you know what they say. You know the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull, eh? That was the old story. Lipstick.
Oh, that's nice. Well, all the mother...
They're tough. Well, hockey moms, you know, look at the...
Well, they're the ones that seem... And, you know, I love to go, and I love to hear the ones clapping all the time, eh?
Yeah.
After every... I look to see it, like, and you know, it's always a goalie's mother.
Oh.
Yeah. They always kind of sit by themselves.
Yeah, they do. If their kid's in goal, if they'll like I'll sit with the parents if my son's not in goal, but if he's in goal, I sit by myself.
Yeah. But the funny thing is people that in the media and they say, oh, hockey parents and all that. And, you know, they think they're screaming and yelling. We go to the games. It's like a church. Like you can hear a pin drop.
Well, it's triple A.
Triple A's like that. Like you go to single A or double A, the parents are a little.
Yeah, they're a little bit more boisterous.
But you go to the triple A, and these are the high-end kids that are looking to go to the NHL or OHL or wherever. And like you can hear.
Well, maybe they know you scouts are watching yelling and screaming.
No, they don't yell. There's never any violence.
Well, you know what? I couldn't get over. So, they score. They don't even clap half the time. You don't even know if the kids.
Well, they don't
want
the kids. And we went to one arena, Tim. Where was it? And it was a small arena, small ice, and the guy was playing music in between.
Oh, it was I keep calling it the Hershey Center, the Paramount Center. It was Rink 4 at the Paramount.
Community
rinks. It was a small ice service, eh?
Yeah.
And the guy, I don't know where I guess the guy in the penalty box, the kid, was playing music in between, and it was really, and it was cold, but it was just terrific, wasn't it? You could hear the cold.
It's funny how, you know, people talk that they need to make the ice bigger. We go to, in Mississauga, there's a rink, Icelands, and the main rink, I wouldn't say it's Olympic size, but it's a lot bigger than a normal size. And you wouldn't say you see bad games there, but you never see a really good game. And then you go to some rinks that no matter what the game is, you go, boy, that was a good game. Like the Hershey Center rink, Westwood, Chesswood, all those rinks are good.
And you enjoy the game. I mean, you really do enjoy the game. And you know what? Triple-A hockey, if you and I, what do you call, what is that called? Rep hockey or what? We go off.
We call it Triple-A. I don't know. Rep hockey. Whatever.
How about in the days when Max Domi was coming up in Darnell? And how about ice sports on a Friday night? And all the so this is the children of a lot of the Leafs are coming up, right? And he's Thomas and Matt Ty would be there. And remember that on a Friday night?
Yeah,
all those players and Gilmore's kids would be there.
I remember they got Sundin. to talk to Max, because Max would get over the line and wouldn't shoot, and so he had Sundin. Yeah. Ty had Sundin. He got to shoot. And the old story, I should tell a story that right kid that's playing for Kingston.
Yeah.
And
his name is Shane Wright, playing for Kingston. He played for Don Mills, and he got exemption. So he's 15 year now playing in the OHL.
Like, yeah, people will be telling me about him pretty soon. But we watched him when he was really young, and his head scout, the guy that's his
kind of his agent.
His agent, yeah. Said, "Would you talk to him?" I said, "No, I won't talk to him." I said, "But just tell him one thing. Guys that shoot drive expensive cars. Guys that pass don't drive expensive cars." I think he got a hat trick the next game.
Yeah. No,
well, you always blame Leanne because of Max not shooting more. Remember?
Why?
Well, because when he was small, she'd always yell, "Pass, pass, pass," you know, because that's what a lot of hockey moms do. They want the kid to pass because they don't want their kid as a reputation as a puck hog.
Well, when Gretzky played, that he used to get all the goals. They said that he used to cry after the game because the parents all got mad at him because he wouldn't pass the puck. But he had one thing in mind. And
well, it's funny you saying that, because we went out and saw a kid. I should go look up his name. Plays for this Mississauga Senators. Loching, I think his name
is.
Yeah,
he's a French guy.
French player coming over to play in the GTHL. But you said, "I like him." And I go, "Why do you like him?" "He's selfish." And you say that with all affection.
No, selfish. Now that, and you know how, if you hear the word selfish, you think of a...
It's negative.
But when he gets over the blue line, he's got one thing in mind: to put the puck in the net. And there's one thing that coaches holler more than anything: shoot the puck. And guys, well, this guy shoots the puck from anywhere.
Yeah.
And if you think back, think of Kane when he won when Chicago won the Stanley Cup, where he shot the puck from the corner. We didn't even know it was in. And he's jumping around going, "Now, what the heck is he jumping around for?" It went in. You shoot the puck, it always goes in. You never know. The old story is, you never know what's going to happen. Shoot the puck from anywhere. All right, that's enough. That's enough talking about minor league hockey. The people at Weston and Nova Scotia are sick of hearing about around Toronto, but that's where we live, around Toronto. If we're in Nova Scotia, if we're out west, we'd be going there. So Thursday, we're going to talk more about minor league hockey and what you should do and what you shouldn't.